This podcast is from heptagonclub.co.uk and paulcarenza.com. The Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club with Paul Carenza. 7 guests, 7 corners.
On this week's show,
a Christian, an atheist, a Jew, and a Muslim walking to a bar and
just
get along.
Just know what you're going to say and get to the core of your message.
You've got a nicer man before you had your iPhone.
And your host,
Mr. Paul Carenza.
Welcome, Heptagonites, to episode 20. There you go. 2-0. They all said we'd never make it. Not with doing 7 guests per episode anyway. I mean, I know other podcasts easily sail past 20 with no problem. The ones who just, you know, record and upload, point and click, do it and done. But not this one. I mean, you know, I'm not kidding. I think almost every guest on this week's episode has, just before we've recorded, said to me, 7 guests, you edit this yourself. You have 7 different guests. How do you have time for this? Well, that, dear listener, is why we are one a month with occasional long blips between podcasts. So in my advice, if you want to start a podcast, forget the Heptagon Club. Well, there already is one. But, you know, go Triangle Club, you know, 3 guests or 2 guests, the Line Club. That's a lot easier. Or just the Dot Club. Just yourself. You know, do all the voices. Far, far easier. But no, we are here. So you don't have to be. Well, you need to be here to listen. Otherwise, we would stop, I think. Simple as that. In fact, we could do with word spreadage. So, you know, we need growth. Listeners equals I make episodes, so feel free to spread word of this. If we put a post on the Facebook page, of which I hope you have liked, then do share it and retweet. We can't retweet on Facebook, but you know what I mean. But if we put a thing on social media about the podcast, it would be brilliant if you would spread word of us. And donations, even better, Patreon, if you want to do something more regularly, or a one-off donation via the button on heptagonclub.co.uk. So word spreadage, donations, all help make this continue to happen. But yes, in the meantime, we survive by spanning long gaps, a bit like the one that we have had lately. This is sort of the first one back of season 3 in a way. We did have a mini episode, an advertorial last episode of that count, which was plugging the Greatest Story Ever Toured tour that I'm currently touring, of which we still have a couple of dates left. You have to be very quick, though. Exeter Cathedral, Friday 13th of July, which is sort of next week as I record this, and one other which is sold out, so I won't even tell you about that one. We might be doing more of this tour in the autumn, though, because it's been great fun, and it's been almost entirely sold out. So what I really want to plug this episode, if anything, it's not an advertorial as such, but my Guildford Fringe shows, mainly the Christmas play that I'm doing for madness reasons in July. Thursday, 19th of July, Three Wise Men is the name of the play. It's the story of Charles Dickens, Prince Albert, and the American writer Washington Irving sort of co-creating the modern Christmas. And we have 3 fabulous actors. Bob Hartman, the legendary storyteller. Alex Perkins, who is in The Office, in every episode of The Office, as one of the underlings. Call the Midwife, he's done loads of other stuff. And Jennifer Masters, who you may know of my other podcast, Movie Banter, an old chum from there. So Jen's in it as well. I'm directing and I'll be there doing techie things. So Guildford Fringe, Thursday, 19th of July. Three Wise Men is the name of the play. I'm also doing a stand-up show, more imminently, Work in Regress. That's there this coming weekend, if you are listening to this immediately, as soon as the podcast has gone up. Anyway, but no, forget advertising. This is a regular episode with 7 guests who aren't particularly plugging much apart from just their general well-being and what they're up to. So on which, if you do hear an advert before the start of this episode, and or maybe at the end of it, I clicked a button on the website of the podcast web hosting people, Podbean. I have a feeling what happens, I've made myself available and my existence known to advertisers. I think that's what's happened. And then they would be in touch and I would vet them and veto them and go, actually, I do not like the brand you are trying to purvey. Or I do like your brand and therefore please advertise away. I think that's how it works. So if you hear an advert, I don't know about it so far. And I will be trying to make sure that is having minimal effect on the podcast. So let's see how all that goes anyway. Either way, this is the 20th episode of this club, this gentlemen and ladies. It's a people's club. It's for humans. We have 7 guests a week. You get to stand sort of in the middle of the club and angle yourself at 7 different corners here who we have along as guests. This time we have 4 comics, and three authors. Well, in fact, some of the comics are authors too, but that's portfolio careers for you. We have Pippa Evans, who you may know from Radio 4 Land generally, and Bennett Aaron. They are both recorded at the Hay Festival, which is Radio 4 Land pretty much, over in Wales. I was over there doing a panel on religion and comedy, and Pippa and Bennett were on that panel as well. So a quick chat with them. We have authors and super parent mentors, Rob Parsons and Catherine Hill. We've got speaking guru Lee Jackson, and we've got three of our guests who are contributors and indeed even the editor of Sorted magazine. So in fact, four contributors, because I'm one as well. So there you go, four columnists from that magazine are here. And one of those is my good chum, Tony Vino. I should explain, been doing a lot of travelling recently, and a packed trousers didn't see this heat wave coming. So one charity shop later, I emerged in new/old shorts, and then Mr. Tony Vino appears on the scene. So for this chat, the Heptagon Club is going underground, into the cellar, into the funky basement, where we meet Mr. Tony Vino.
I'm here in an exciting, the underground bunker of the Heptagon Club, where coffee machines and music abounds. It's the happening place, it's the hip-hop joint with Mr. Tony Vino.
Hello, Mr. Paul Carenza. I love how trendy this club is. It's part of this modern phenomena of smashed avocado and any kind of meat being pulled.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do at the Heptagon Club. That's what we thrive to impress.
Do you remember the days when dough wasn't sour? It was just wheat and water.
It's the opposite
and
of sour, yeast. Is it sweet?
I suppose it's sweet.
Yeah, it's a sweet dough.
Sweet dough.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean that's basically a bun, isn't it? That's
I suppose it is. Yeah, a nice ice bun with that pink icing that doesn't look entirely natural. Yeah.
So I live down the road in Manchester from a lovely place called Chorlton now, which has got very gentrified, and the whole cafe culture's come in. So, you know, like in London, you're never more than sort of 3 metres away from a rat. In Chorlton, you're never more than sort of 3 metres away from an artisan bakery.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Beautiful.
Love an artisan. It's my favourite sort of bakery, is the artisan type.
Because I sometimes feel like I'm belying my youth, though, because I'm originally from Preston. We never had our artisan bakeries. We just had bakeries.
a lot of Greggs, wasn't
it? Just a lot of Greggs. And I've know what the difference between, you know, artisan bread and bread, it's just £4.
That's
the only difference.
I was in Retford yesterday, as were you.
I remember.
In fact, that's where I can vouch
for the truth of that.
It's where I bought the fine second-hand shorts that I'm currently sporting, because I misjudged the weather entirely. So it's nice to walk into a charity shop and just go, I'm having those, I'm going to wear them right now.
What have you got that's in season?
Exactly. What's in season 8 years ago? But now I passed a beautiful old bakery, and it's one of those like family-run, you know, like R.W. Bacon and Co. Oh. And you think, if you call bacon, why you wouldn't be a baker?
You were. he just loved the irony.
The baker called Bacon. But it's like, you know, big, broad room with, you know, just all sorts of buns and cakes going cheap, but all lined up on the thing. And just old school. It's like what a Greggs would be if it were independent and family run for 100 years.
That was interest
in profit whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how much did you pay for your shorts then?
£3.50.
I mean, they're pretty good. They're sort of check.
A couple
of pockets in them. Nice.
You know, the first couple I picked up, I thought, these are nice. Then I thought, actually, these are swimming trunks. I thought, I could just wear them. I could style it out.
Yeah.
But then people will look and go, oh, I think those are swimming trunks.
Yeah.
And they are swimming trunks. So
it was the laces that were sort of hanging out of the front. Yeah.
If I'm honest, it was the Speedos.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it away. I think it was quite obvious. The banana hammock was there for all the time. So, enough of this summary talk.
But thank you to, you know, whatever man that died in order to give Paul seasonal attire.
You're conscious walking around Retford that someone there might be looking at going, that's my Gerald. That's my Gerald.
He used to love going to the baths in there.
Yeah, exactly.
More from Tony Vino shortly. Right now, though, Pippa Evans and Bennett Aaron. We shared a stage at the Hay Festival recently, along with Tez Ilyas. We've got Tez hopefully on at some future juncture, but he caught a different train, quite simply. So I didn't get to chat to Tez on this occasion. The Heptagon Club is right next to a railway station, it seems, and we have a window open, so you may hear some train track noisage. Straight after our panel on religion and comedy, here's Jewish comic and writer Bennett Aaron. And you might have heard her on Radio 4's The Now Show, or or I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, or on TV in a variety of things, or indeed on stage in Showstopper, the improvised musical. She also founded the Sunday Assembly, a non-religious churchish sort of gathering, which she's just hung up her non-cassock from, I suppose, to embark on new projects. So this is Pippa Evans with Bennett Aaron.
Well, we're excited to be... I'm excited anyway. Pippa Evans and Bennett Aaron are here after a sellout BBC show at the Hay Festival. It was good, wasn't it?
It was very good.
Really nice. It was literally that joke of a Christian, an atheist, a Jew, and a Muslim walking to a bar and just get along.
We did get along quite nicely, I thought.
Didn't we?
Meant to be discussing religion and comedy and all the barriers and limits and things, but we all sort of generally got on all right.
There were hardly any arguments at all.
But everyone really listened to each other. That was nice.
Yes, and the audience as well were very.
Hey, there it is.
The listening there dome. That's not all. Bye. There it is.
That what makes Bennett Aaron the leading Jewish comedian writer in the country.
Yeah, that joke.
So, good man.
It's raining quite badly now. I just want to say on behalf of Wales that it wasn't raining for the last 2 days, and I feel like you guys only had the rainy experience.
Because you've been here for a while, you've been showstopping.
I've been here for 3 days. No showstopper, no.
No showstopping. Oh, improv.
Let There Be Cake, with the show with Marcus Brigstock and Rachel Paris. Bennett saw, but he's already said it was good twice today, so I don't think can't make him say it again.
Yes, so Bennett, you played the role of audience member.
Yes, which I thought I did very well. Actually, I've had a lot of feedback from it. And 4 stars from Chortle.
More from Pippa and Bennett in a bit. The Hay Festival was a whole heap of fun, I must say. I've never been before, but it was a delight to be invited by Radio 4 to be on that particular show. It's the Beyond Belief programme, which airs this August bank holiday. So next month, as this podcast lands in your inbox, you can hear Bennett and Pippa and Tez Ilias and myself on Beyond Belief August bank holiday. Other things upcoming for me, the Guildford Fringe shows, of which I spoke earlier, that's the stand-up work in regress show this week. And if you are an early adopter, a connoisseur of fringe theatre, or just a fan of Christmas, or indeed sick of this July heatwave, that's another reason to come down to my new play, a world premiere, Three Wise Men, July 19th at the aptly Christmas-named pub, The Star. So follow The Star and come and see us. That would be a marvellous thing to do. Other upcomings we have, I'm doing Greenbelt Festival in August. I'm doing a Saturday morning children's book event there, possibly some kind of writing workshop too. Watch this space. Not this space. There'll be no information on this space. Watch another space for more info. Got a few more dates for The Greatest Story Ever Told, Exeter Cathedral, doing that one there. I've got gigs from Bognor to Scargill House in the Yorkshire Dales. You can see paulcarenza.com for details on that. I've got Pause for Thoughts on Radio 2, doing some BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey Sunday morning breakfast show hosting duties. Loving that. That's 3 hours of presenting fun and here's the travel and things like that. Even get to read the news. So that's rather worrying, really. A comedian reading the news. Not a good idea. More book writing as well. Keep an eye on my Facebook and Twitter for more on those. We have another book coming out just in time for this Christmas. So, there we go again. Can't help but say the word Christmas, even though it's a July heatwave. Here's Tony Vino once again.
Do you want to know an interesting fact about Preston?
Tell me about Preston. Hey, Preston.
Teetotalism was invented in Preston.
How does that be invented? Because isn't that just not drinking? Isn't that just not...
Yeah, I mean, it's so basically, obviously you had the big prohibition movement in America, but it has its origins in Preston. So Mormonism, the first Mormon congregation outside of America was in Preston. Yep. So they had, you know, they got kicked out and they moved to Preston. So that was one of the first things there. But Teetotalism, you had problems with drinking, basically, in Preston. Right. And the fact is, they've carried on that tradition, so they've done really well.
Okay, yeah.
But basically, you have cheap gin, lots of gin houses, and you know, you've got things like, you know, Gin Lane and, you know, that famous picture and all that kind of stuff. You had a big problem, is it 17th century, with gin production, and they were trying to rival French brandy, so the government said, you can make your own gin, and that caused lots of social problems. But in Preston, you had a particularly bad problem with every other house was like a sort of homebrew gin kind of making thing. Basically making gin without instructions and without breakfast as well, right? So they basically just would have gin all the time.
The Heptagon Club.
7 guests, 7 corners. The Heptagon Club with Paul Parenza.
Interesting history in alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
that I never realised were created because of a war with another one or something. Like, you know, the eggnog in America.
Yeah.
Eggnog only came about because of European prices of sherry and port and stuff like that.
Of course.
And the Americans go, we can't afford this anymore. And then whiskey, they go in the deep south, they go, we've got the perfect farming temperatures here, we make whiskey. And then suddenly America, there's this old boom trade of like, we don't need to import stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Eggnog and whiskey, let's do it. Let's build our empire on this.
Yes, the geopolitics of alcoholic beverages.
But meanwhile, in Preston, you got your gin, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing was, back in ancient Greece, everyone was always half cut all the time because like they used to give like wine to kids because it was the only way of getting, you know, liquid into them, to, you know, fermented wine. They'd just be on that
it's
all
better
day
for you than water,
better for
isn't
you
it?
Because it didn't have all the germs and everything. I mean, I'll give my kid, you know, maybe a bit of baby sham, but you know, wine, I'm not that bad a parent.
Well, that's why Dickens had mulled wine, smoking bishop, it was growing up, you know, because it was better for you than the water.
It killed all the germs off.
Let's get drunk, kids.
So in Preston, the temperance movement was started by the Quakers,
okay? Right.
And there was a guy called Joseph Livesey, or was he Joseph Smith? Joseph Smith started Mormonism, Joseph Livesey was in Preston,
right.
And he was the head of the temperance movement.
Mm.
Now, one of his speakers was a guy called Andrew Turner, and he was one of the lead speakers for the Preston Temperance Society.
And PTS.
It's going strong to this day.
There you go.
And this is in like, you know, early 1800s.
Right.
And he had a pronounced speech impediment, right? So the thing was about abolition of alcohol. Mm. And it was the total abolition of alcohol. But he couldn't pronounce it very well. So he used to go the total, and that's where teetotalism.
Oh right, so
that's
the word
etymology.
Teetotal
was from
there?
This guy who couldn't pronounce total.
You're kidding me.
No, that is in Preston. Andrew Turner.
Well, it's impressed me.
I've impressed it on you.
Very
impressed
good.
On, yes.
So it's like the Batman Turner Overdrive, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because they're taking the mick out of the sound engineer, weren't they?
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were doing it as a bit of a laugh, and they kept it in, you know.
Do you think Pearl and Dean did the same thing with their sound engineer?
Mr. Grimsdale. Everything comes back to Dickens on this podcast, isn't it?
It's all roads
especially
to Dickens.
I've got a Dickens play to plug, come
it's
on.
It's a hard
you know.
Life, isn't it?
It is. The Mormonism, I didn't realize recently, a lot of that came about from 1816, that they had this global, it was the year called the Year Without Summer. It was called, nicknamed 1800 and Froze to Death, they used to call it. And it was snowed in like June that year.
Wow.
And all over the world, it was like a mini ice age. It's just suddenly temperatures drop.
Yes.
You know, that's when we had the last of the frost fairs on the Thames with elephants walking across the Thames.
Oh
and all that.
My goodness, right.
And so that was the summer that Mormonism sort of started because the farming temperatures were just so bad, people were just leaving, going north and west to try and just find different temperatures because of the sea currents.
Of
so this Mormon, that's when they sort of gathered together and created
that. And they went
on
their big journey, right?
And so that was influenced on them. And the other big literary influence, apart from Dickens, who was 4 years old at the time, experiencing 8 white Christmases in a row that made him think of snowy Christmases. They made him write about a white Christmas.
Of course, yeah.
For his grown-up audience, who by that point, it was all mild Christmases, and they wanted to remember the snowy Christmas of their
youth. Right, yeah.
So you've got that side of things. You've also got Byron, who went to his summer retreat, his Italian villa, with a few writer buddies. And because the weather was awful, there was no summer that year, 1816. So he said, right, forget summer sunbathing and going out and having a jolly. Let's all write ghost stories to reflect this misty, gloomy weather.
Wow.
Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein.
Shelley was there.
John Polidori wrote the first vampire story. And that was all written in one night
on
this big challenge from Byron. Let's go and write some scary stories.
And was Alice in Wonderland at the same?
Not then.
That was one. But that's I heard about this party.
Yeah.
Where they were all having mind-altering substances.
There's a bit of film of it, in fact. Yeah. Certainly,
I mean,
yeah.
And that's. I mean, we should try some of that. I mean, you know, a couple of triple espressos, and we could bang out.
I think we're halfway there. I think we're halfway there. I've had so much sourdough.
Yeah. I'm starting to hallucinate.
I'm going a bit loopy. Yeah, exactly.
So that was the summer of 1860. Then,
1816.
So. 1816.
1816. Yeah.
Because everyone bangs on about the summer of 1977.
Okay.
Which is basically the eternal summer. Everyone, you know, I was born in 78, so But everyone's like, you want to remember 77? That was a year. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Charity shops were out of £3 shorts across the land.
They were wearing these. These were new then. Charity sporting.
Tony and I are columnists in Sorted magazine. Is it columnists or columnists? I never know. I always pronounce the end, maybe wrongly. We're both in Sorted magazine, which is a men's mag with a difference. It's sort of the anti-loaded, the opposite of FHM. It's sort of MHF, I suppose. And its editor is this guy. He is also a comedy magician. He's been on this podcast before, so it's a welcome return from a man who claims to have driven to the moon and back in gig miles over the years. It's that troubadour, Steve Legg.
I toured with Cannon and Ball. As a kid growing up, they were my comedy heroes. You know, in the 80s, when on a Saturday night, London weekend, television, the music came on, I loved Bobby and Tommy.
Yes.
And then 20-odd years ago, did a tour with them, which was really exciting. 48 nights all across the UK. Yeah. And just learning from Bobby, there's so much.
Yeah, yeah.
What I found fascinating, he was learning and reading about comedy all the time.
Really?
We'd be flying somewhere. And he was reading a book on the theory of comedy.
Right.
Oh, it's fascinating, you know. So that was great. I'd done 15 minutes at the Royal Albert Hall, which was a tremendous buzz.
Oh, wow, yeah.
As a performer. Mm. Heptagon Club, obviously.
Of course, this is the main one. It's what it's building up to.
There we are.
It's downhill from here, obviously. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the Bobby Ball thing there, you know, learning about comedy. Because you always think someone like Bobby Ball has got funny bones.
Oh.
And yet he's still learning and going with it. And you just wonder, is there such a thing as funny bones, or is it actually it's just you put the graft in, you know?
I think it's both. I mean, he's got this persona and stage presence. I mean, have you worked with
him? Yeah, but, briefly on with Not Going Out, been in that, but I've not properly met the guy. But I did. The one cameo I had in Not Going Out was what we thought was the last episode ever, Big Wedding. Obviously, Bobby Ball is there as Lee's dad, and then as the vicar, they got Tommy Cannon.
Oh, wow.
So it was a little reunited moment.
Lovely.
And I was there as a wedding guest sort of thing. But between the takes, you just see them sitting there on a bench, Tommy and Bobby, you know, and just sitting there watching them go by, catching up, and you just think, wow, that's just lovely to see them just, you know, they're doing their thing.
Well, I think I'm right in saying they've been together 45 years. They've broken all the world records. So they double act being together.
Yeah. And they're still doing shows, aren't they?
Still touring.
It's great.
I see them going to come to Worthing. You know, Bobby lives out in St Anne's near Blackpool, and he travels down, does the gig, and drives home afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. But I bet he's been to the moon and back.
I bet he has.
Now, Steve is editor of Sorted magazine, which is a men's mag of features, interviews, motoring, and a column by me, not on motoring. I mean, I know I was a writer for Top Gear for at least a series, a series, but no one's been in touch just yet offering me a free Porsche to test drive and review. So for now, it's just me and my Nissan Note and no reviews on that, although it's a sturdy vessel. I'll just say that much. So our next guest also writes for Sorted magazine, again, not in the motoring section, but in his capacity as a professional speaker and delivery expert, I suppose, not deliverance, not the film with the that's not him. It's a first timer for this podcast. Please welcome in speaker's corner, Lee Jackson.
I've stepped out into the parkland for this corner of the podcast because it's a nice day, so why not? A great day to speak to Lee Jackson. How are you, Lee?
Very good, Paul. Yeah, thanks for having me on in your wonderful podcast.
You're most welcome. Delight to have you here, especially a delight to have someone who... Well, you know how to speak, don't you? I mean, not just... Well, we're speaking in a very private / public capacity here. You are a speaking expert. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm a professional speaker is my job. So I've done that full-time for 10 years. I speak for a living. I speak in businesses and schools, do motivational talks, and I also, the other half of my job is helping other people to speak. So I basically teach people how to do talks, how to get over their nerves, you know, how to be funny in front of an audience. Yeah, so it's great fun. So I'm either speaking myself or I'm helping other people. That's my job, basically.
That's no mean feat, is it? I mean, how do you end up... You must have done a lot of speaking at an amateur level, like conversationally and around the house, things like that.
Yeah, I've been speaking since a very young age. Yes, I guess.
Indeed, yeah.
But yeah,
and I guess at some point it just sort of carries on into the professional world, is it?
Yeah, well, I was a youth worker, so I founded a youth work charity in Leeds back in the 90s, and a big part of that was the first day on my job. In that job, I basically was. They gave me 600 teenagers in a school, and they said, "Right, go and talk to that lot, Lee."
Wow.
And so there's 600 of them in a, you know, on a Monday morning, sat there with their arms folded, and I thought, "I'm going to have to learn to do this pretty well because, you know, they don't want to be here. So
yeah, of course, yeah, tough crowd. I think it's fair to say, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, tough crowd, and probably not tougher than some of the crowds you've had, Paul, I'm sure, but. Yeah, teenagers are a no easy crowd, really. That was my starting point. So
I mean, I guess I know that you weren't on that occasion necessarily trying to get them to speak, but I mean that surely must be, were you to try and coax, you know, let's say for example, a teenager to do any kind of speaking, is that the worst? Is that as bad as it gets? Is that the toughest gig, you would say, in terms of,
I think,
you know, getting them to get something out must be tricky.
Yeah, I think as a speaker, I think the toughest gig you always do is to people that you know. I think.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you know, in your performance, when I've, you know, give me like 2,000 strangers any day, but, yeah, you know, put my family on the front row, and that's because they're like sat there going, you're not funny, just stop it.
Well, do you know what, actually, this is timely because this comes on to this very morning. I went to my kids' school, so they're like 5 and 7, and I read a bit of this children's book I've done to not just them, but also, you know, their whole school. So it was that mix of speaking to children, you know, and at least sort of they were between 4 and 7, which is probably nicer than teenagers potentially, but still, they're not going to laugh at the right places and all that stuff just to keep you happy. And yet also people I know, my kids there, I thought I want to look good in front of my kids. So, what should I have done? Is there any good tips you can give me for things like that for the next time something like that ever comes in?
Well, I think if they're between 5 and 7, just enjoy it, because when they become teenagers, it all changes. So I'm sure they'll still quite secretly like the fact that you went into school when they're younger. I've got 19-year-old twins now. And
wow.
I've just spent the last, because like when you're a professional speaker, where do you go to learn to speak? So I've done a comedy course a couple of years ago. I've just finished an improv course. So I'm doing improvisation just to sharpen myself up. And the graduate show for that is tonight. So I'm performing in a comedy club in Leeds, in the Verve, where you've probably performed in Leeds.
Okay.
Yeah. And I said to my daughters, I said, would you want to come and see me? And they were like, Dad, we just feel sorry for you. We're not coming.
Oh, bless.
So that was the end of that one, yeah. So
yeah, that's not going to happen. It's the wrong age, isn't it? It's the wrong age, I suppose. Hopefully
yeah, I think so.
That.
But I think with any talk, though, I think we've all heard so many boring talks. In any talk, the best advice I can give is just know what you're going to say and get to the core of your message. Do you know what I mean? Too many people talk around the houses. You basically need to know what's the one thing you want them to remember.
Okay.
And I reckon if you do that, then that really works, you know.
Well, thank you, Lee, for helping us present better. And your book is Get Good at Presenting, is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. That's available everywhere now.
Well, thank you for getting us good at presenting.
So Lee's new book, Get Good at Presenting, is available from all good places where good books are available. Or leejackson.biz, that's leejackson.biz, is where you will find him and indeed his book. Speaking of books, a couple more authors for you now. And bear in mind, all writers we have on this podcast, we put at least one of their books on our Amazon guests list. Other places to get books are indeed available, of course, but there is a convenient list function on Amazon. So if you head to our Facebook page, Heptagon Club, search for us on Facebook, and you will find a little list linking to the Amazon list of books by writers who've appeared on this podcast, including our next couple, Rob Parsons and Catherine Hill, also in the non-fiction aisle. Now, they are head honchos of the charity Care for the Family. They're both parenting experts, bar none. Well, there's good parenting advice straight away, bar the nuns. I mean, nothing against nuns, but, you know, they keep coming round during family tea times. It does get awkward. It's a bad habit, you could say, eh? Forget it. So Rob Parsons, Catherine Hill, welcome to the Heptagon Club. This is the name of our podcast, Heptagon, seven guests a week, and you indeed are two of them. So thank you for that. So you both are esteemed authors, writers, speakers. What is currently piquing your interest in the world of your writing?
Well, my latest book has been Left to Their Own Devices, Confident Parenting in a World of Screens. And we just found at Care for the Family, so many parents, a bit like rabbits in the headlights, feeling that they're a step behind their kids, really concerned about some of the implications of the digital age, things that they're looking at, things they're seeing, but conscious as well. There's so much good. And so the book aims to really help parents in that area.
Yeah, and there's a lovely line in it of a little boy who says to his dad, Dad, you were a nicer man before you had your iPhone.
Yeah, oh, I know. I heard that line, I thought, Yeah, that speaks to me. That's, yeah. And I try not to, but sometimes you notice yourself just thinking they haven't noticed, but they do, don't they? They notice everything.
Well, we always say we think our kids aren't listening to us. Truth is, they don't miss a thing. But it's not all gloom and doom, and there's so much good in the digital age as well. So this isn't just being naysayers, but it's equipping parents to have their eyes open and to really come alongside and help their children have wisdom in this area.
And I like that idea. You talk about the media...
Media agreement.
Media agreement, yeah. I was going to say manifesto. That sounds a bit strict. But that sort of, getting together as a family and working
this
out.
We talk about having a family media agreement. Really just getting together, maybe getting some drinks, some snacks, and looking at what your ground rules are for media use in the home. And some people have three columns, and they put yes you can, middle column ask us first, third column don't even think about it.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know what I love in your book? The bit about where it says at night the family all charge their phones downstairs together.
Oh,
everybody.
Together. Yeah.
And that gives kids a break, because that's that night time when those texts come through at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm. You know, sometimes there's nowhere to hide, perhaps from the bully. So I think that's a great idea. Charge your phones together downstairs.
But then I would have to as well, wouldn't
you
I?
You would, absolutely. The whole family has to.
But it's quite handy there. Oh. I mean, if I can't sleep and I can watch something on Netflix.
Buy an alarm. Clock.
No way. Another arm clock. I can't believe such things.
Oh man, that's tricky. I'm going to try it though. No more Netflix at night time. I reckon I can do it, but only because we've just left Netflix and joined Amazon Prime Instant Video. So that'll do for my in-bed binge watching. Ah, Robert and Catherine know best though. A mere snapshot of them for now. More from them on a future episode. Here's the plan, by the way. Another episode in about a month, so that should be early August, landing on your devices, with a couple of recommendations in that one for Edinburgh Fringe, if you're going. I'm not going myself. I'm all about Guildford Fringe this year. So I guess final reminder, Three Wise Men, brand new Christmas play at the Star Pub, Thursday, 19th of July. Or indeed, if you're listening to this beyond mid-July, I'm looking to do this Christmas play at Christmas, perhaps, in future years. So look out for that. And you could search online, Three Wise Men, Carenza, and indeed, Three Wise Men, Carenza, Guildford, if you want details of this time round. It's at guildfordfringe.com. But some who are going to Edinburgh include Bennett Aaron and Pippa Evans.
What are you Edinburghing, Pippa Evans? You're doing...
I'm doing Showstopper, the improvised musical where I sing.
It's a highly successful format and brand, isn't it?
You've taken
it all over the world. New York and other places.
New York, Toronto, Singapore, all the places.
All the places. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing that in Showstopper in Edinburgh again. And we do a kids show as well, which is really fun if you have kids. In fact, that might be my favourite version, but don't tell anybody about it. And also doing a play with a script.
A comic play?
I believe so. Called Brexit 2, I believe. With Joe Caulfield and Mike McShane, amongst others.
Very nice.
Written by Tom Selinsky. It's going to be fun.
Cool. Brexit 2, Showstoppers, Showstoppers Kids, Identity Theft. First time thing.
Yeah. And, I've never told anyone this.
That one.
Yes.
Oh, that one. That's in no way involving first time. No. Okay. Don't know where I got that from.
Not first time thing.
Well, I thank you for, in this time when we are waiting for a train, sharing your words of wisdom with our fine podcast. Godspeed, and I don't know which God, but you know, we'll.
Any old God.
We didn't decide.
Any old God.
All together now.
So we'll have more on Bennett's show at Edinburgh Festival next time, or shows, in fact. He's doing his show on identity theft, a remarkable true story about how he changed the law of the land. And Bennett Aaron's also doing a show of confessions and funny stories, things that he's never told anyone before. So more next time from Bennett, and indeed from Pippa. And from other people, other newbies to the podcast as well. So for now, enjoy the heat wave. If you would like to cool down, well, with me, it's always Christmas and you know what to do. You know where to come. If you can't make the play in Guildford, you've got my Christmas book, Hark, the Biography of Christmas, which I think at least one or two people have been reading in this heat wave. So that is an unusual thing to do, but you can do it. So big love to you, pod listener. You know what to do. Rates and reviews, always welcome for this podcast on iTunes. Donations always welcome to heptagonclub.co.uk to make a one-off wonga bung. Is that a word? It sounds like a word. Via PayPal, or there's a regular supporting financial gesture button called Patreon, which you could give like £1 a month or whatever you fancy to keep us afloat. We have had a few donations so far, and each one has filled me hugely with joy, more than I can possibly express. So you know who you are, and you are awesome. Thank you. Like us on Facebook. Please share if you see us post something, and that is how we find more listeners. Hey, you as
Has anybody said to you today?
Thank you to Rob Halligan for the music. He is a future guest on this podcast. And merry summer, everybody.
You look positively beautiful in your blue jeans.
As Tiny Tim observed, join us for next month's podcast. Tiny Tim was way ahead of his time. 'Cause you're the best thing.